We're turning today to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 records for us something of the events leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we want to read some of the verses here in John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Then down in verse 14 we read, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And we know God will bless even this reading of his word to our hearts. Before we come to consider this passage of scripture, we want to seek the Lord in prayer and pray for his blessing to be upon us and his blessing upon his word even to our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee that we can read of these events which took place so many years ago, these events which have a bearing on all our lives, and these events which even show us how your great plan of redemption was worked out in time. And we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who willingly went to the cross at Calvary as the great sacrifice for sin and suffered and died, and praise God, arose again. And we thank thee today he is able to save to the uttermost those who turn from sin and trust in him for salvation, those that come unto thee through him. We pray that thou will bless us as we consider thy word today. Speak to every heart. We pray that each child of God who will listen to this message will be encouraged, built up in the faith. We pray for any that are unsaved and out of Christ who will listen to this message, that they will be brought under conviction of their sin and brought to that place where they will call on thee for forgiveness and for salvation. Bless our land and our nation at this time. Bless our families. Bless our congregations. Remember the bereaved. Comfort them. Remember those laid aside and ill. Lord, touch them in their bodies. Remember the medical staff, the NHS, bless them. May they be your instruments again at this time, and may their lives be preserved, and may they be used even in the preservation of other lives. So, Lord, hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in John chapter 19, as we read of some of the events surrounding the trial and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, we discover that Pilate, the Roman governor, referred to the Lord Jesus as the King of the Jews. Here in John 19 verse 14, he said unto the Jews, "Behold your King." And when the Jews cried out in verse 15, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him," Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your King?" And when they still cried out that he might be crucified, and when the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross, we find in verse 19 of John 19 that Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And even though the religious leaders protested and said to Pilate, the chief priests in particular, they said, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate's answer was, "What I have written, I have written." And as we search through the scriptures, we're left in no doubt that the Lord Jesus was and is the King of the Jews. You remember in Matthew 2, when the wise men came from the east and they were searching for the Saviour, their question was, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" As we read of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus in John 1, in verse 49, we read of a man called Nathanael. And he was brought to a place where he addressed the Lord Jesus with these words and this confession, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of the Jews." And then as we make our way right through the New Testament to the final book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we discover in Revelation chapter 15 verse 3 that as God's people in heaven sing the song of Moses and the Lamb unto Christ the Saviour, that they address him as "Thou King of Saints." The Lord Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, he's the King of Saints. What is a saint? A saint is simply a saved sinner. When you in this life take your place as a sinner before God, and you turn from your sin, and you call upon the Lord for salvation, and you receive Christ as your Saviour, well, then the Bible says that you are a saint and Christ is your King. And then in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, we find the Lord Jesus set before us as the King of Kings. That's how he's coming back again someday. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on that day, every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It will be too late for salvation. Therefore, it is so important that you do, as it were, bow the knee now in life by calling on the Lord for forgiveness and salvation, receiving him as your Saviour. I wonder, have you received him as your Saviour? Is he your King? Have you submitted to him? Do you love him? Do you serve him? Are you trusting in him? Can you say with the hymn writer, "King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary." We want, as it were, to be led to Calvary today, and we want to consider Christ as the King set before us here in John 19. We see, first of all, that he was the mocked King. The opening verses record how Pilate took the Lord Jesus and scourged him. And then the Roman soldiers, they plaited or weaved a crown of thorns and put it on the head of the Saviour. They put on him a purple robe. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And of course, they were mocking the Lord Jesus. Matthew's account in Matthew 27 and the verse 29 reveals that they put also a reed in the Lord's hand. They bowed the knee before him in mockery. And yet the Lord Jesus submitted to that cruel mockery. We discover that he had predicted this mockery. The mockery continued even when the Lord Jesus was nailed upon the cross. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 27, we read in the verses 41 and 42 that likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others,
himself he cannot see it. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. What mockery, even from these religious leaders who should have known better. And when we think of Christ being mocked as the King, we are reminded that until this very day, the person of Christ, the name of Christ, the work of Christ, and the people of Christ, the followers of Christ, are mocked by others in this world. You can read in Acts 17 and 32 of the Apostle Paul as he preached on one occasion, and by way of how people responded to the message he preached, and he preached of Christ, he preached of his resurrection, he preached of how God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world, and he will judge the world by the Lord Jesus his Son. We discover that there were some who mocked when they heard about the resurrection. And of course the question goes out to you today. What do you think of Christ the King? You may not mock him in the same way as others have, but is he your King? Have you trusted him as Saviour? Do you live for him? Have you submitted to him in your life? So Christ was the mock King. I want you to see in the second place that he is the faultless King. You read down John chapter 19, and despite the fact that Christ was mocked by the Roman soldiers, and later by the priests and elders, Pilate, the Roman governor, who had the responsibility of examining the Lord Jesus and examining the accusations, the charges that were brought against him, and having to make a judgment, having to make a decision, that he declared that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, he said, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." And again in verse 6, when they cried out for his crucifixion, Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And although Christ was falsely accused, and the Jews said that he made himself the Son of God, in reality, of course, he was the Son of God, and they were accusing him of blasphemy, and yet Pilate could find no fault in him. And when we think of Christ as the faultless King, he's a great contrast to many earthly kings that we read about even in the pages of Scripture. Many that were known for their sin, their wickedness, their injustice, their pride, their idolatry. Christ stood out and still stands out as the faultless King. In Jeremiah 23, the verses 5 and 6, we have an Old Testament prophecy concerning Christ. And there he is proclaimed to be the King who would reign and prosper, the Lord our righteousness. And by his sinless life upon this earth, he has provided a perfect righteousness, a perfect standing before God for every sinner who will turn from sin and receive him as their Saviour, receive him as their King. You know, Pilate in Matthew 27 and verse 22, who found Christ to be faultless, he asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And the same question comes to you today. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? If you've never trusted him as your Saviour, will you trust him today? Will you take him as yours? Will you receive forgiveness from him by faith? Or will you continue to reject him? Will you be as those of whom Christ spoke of in the Gospels, who would have the attitude, "We will not of this man to reign over us"? That leads us to another thought. Christ is not only the mocked King, the faultless King, he is the rejected King. Those who mocked him rejected him. And John 19 leaves us in no doubt that the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus. Even though the Roman governor Pilate brought Christ before them as one in whom he found no fault, yet still the religious leaders called for the crucifixion of the Saviour. And they showed their hypocrisy In verse 12, we read of how Pilate sought to release the Lord Jesus. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." You know, in reality, the religious leaders were no friends of Caesar's either. We find in verse 15 when again Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Again, they were being hypocritical. They did not like the fact they were under the rule of the Romans and under the rule of Caesar. And yet they rejected Christ as their king. We really discover that if Christ had come as a king in the political sense to deliver them from the rule of the Romans, they would have accepted him. We find in John chapter 6 and the verse 15 that when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. There were those who didn't appreciate the manner in which the Lord Jesus had come as the king. And so, in many ways, he was the rejected king. He came unto his own, the Bible says in John 1, and his own received him not. And to this very day, Christ is rejected by people all over the world. In Luke 19 and 11, as the Lord Jesus spoke the words of a parable in which he was teaching about how he would be rejected and the gospel would be rejected, he spoke of those who said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." If you read Acts 4, the verses 25 to 28, you will find some of the apostles who faced Christ's rejection in their preaching and the message of the gospel being rejected. They quoted from Psalm 2, where we read of Christ as God's king being rejected by earthly kings and rulers. You know, it's a solemn thing to reject Christ the King, the Saviour, because when he returns, he will reject those who have rejected him. He declared in Matthew 25 that when he comes again as the great judge, that he will sit upon the throne of his glory. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." In verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," Christ is speaking of himself as the king, "he will say to those on his right hand, those who have trusted him, those who have submitted to him, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But in verse 41, he tells us he will say also unto them on the left hand, those who have rejected him, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." As the king, the Lord Jesus has been rejected by many, and he will reject those who reject him. And of course, his rejection led to his crucifixion here in John chapter 19. But there is one final thought about Christ as the king from this 19th chapter of John that I want to leave with you. Christ the king who was mocked. Christ the king who was faultless. Christ the king who was rejected. He is also the victorious king. Now, the Lord Jesus submitted to the death of the cross. In John 19 and verse 10, when Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And while those who called out for the crucifixion of Christ and those who nailed him to the cross were guilty of the death of Christ, were guilty of murdering the King of life, yet at the same time Christ submitted to that death, because through his death on the cross and his resurrection, he was going to be victorious. over death and the grave, victorious over Satan and the powers of darkness, while the enemies of Christ thought that his crucifixion was his defeat, while even the friends and followers of Christ thought at first that the death of Christ was his defeat. Yet Christ came to accomplish a great work by his death and by his resurrection. That was necessary, that he might save his people from their sins. Let me read just for a moment in Mark chapter 15 and the verse 30 to see how really the enemies of Christ thought that his death on the cross was his defeat. They said, "Save thyself and come down from the cross. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." They thought this was his defeat, and his own followers. In Luke chapter 24, on the Emmaus Road, when the risen Christ came alongside some of those followers, and of course they didn't realise at first who the Lord was, and they said, when the Lord asked what things they were talking about, they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." They didn't see that what he accomplished on the cross did redeem his people. And of course he arose again from the dead as the victorious king. The Lord Jesus had said in John 10 that no man would take his life from him. He would lay it down and he would take it up again. And here in this very chapter of John 19, in the verse 30, we read, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." This was not his defeat, this was victory. It is finished. He had finished the work that he had come to do. He had accomplished the work. He had performed the work. And the fact that he arose again on the third day, the first day of the week, proved that he was victorious in all that he came to do. And those who turn from sin and trust Christ for salvation benefit from his victory and share in his victory. Revelation 1, 5 and 6, we can say, "Unto him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God." We will reign with him. Those who reject Christ will suffer forever for their sin. But those who receive him as Saviour will reign with him. Oh, consider Christ today as the King. And I ask you, I challenge you, is he your King? Can you honestly say, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary." May we be led afresh to Calvary today, as we have considered Christ in the Word of God. May God bless his Word to your hearts, and thank you for listening today.